Welcome to the, or is it the, Animal Control Report with your hosts,
Ashley Bishop.
Is it the or the?
I think it's dependent on how you want to say it.
And I'm Daniel Ettinger, your other host of this wonderful podcast program, now available on YouTube. So if you're listening on Spotify and or Apple Podcasts or wherever, and you want to see Ashley's new haircut, go to YouTube and just put in Keep It Humane. There's a whole podcast. There's a lot of stuff under the Keep It Humane YouTube channel. Some people say I said channel, like the English channel, but I say channel.
You say channel.
I do. Because I've been coached. What's wrong with my shirt? Man, this video shit. Anyway, we're also part of the Keep It Humane podcast network. So check that out. Awesome podcast network that has a great group of us doing some amazing things in animal welfare. I really believe that. So check out the Keep It Humane podcast network. All you have to do is go to keepithumane.com/podcast network. And more announcements, and I know I've announced this before, but we are offering an animal control agency, an animal control officer of the year award. And your deadline is November 1st. That's right, November 1st, because we got to have time to review and get your trophy and all that stuff made. So if you're interested, please go to, all you have to do is go to keepithumane.com/animal control report. And you can register right there or nominate somebody right there. Please, though, when you do it, do your 500-word essay. I did receive a nomination without that, so I had to respond. Because, like, you're not telling me why. Why are you nominating this person? Like, just because they have a cool name or they work for a cool agency?
Yeah, you got to have a little bit more than that, because how are you going to even know that it's a cool agency? If
I don't know. So check all that out. Again, nominations are due by November 1st. No membership required, no registration required. Just support your peeps. I'll tell you this. I've been in this industry for a while. I've been on state organization boards, like nonprofits, and the amount of participation we get from our fellow officers in things, like, they always want to complain about stuff not getting done and this and that. But when it comes to an opportunity for people to actually step up and do stuff, most people don't do stuff. So stop complaining and do stuff. Okay. Like, that bothers the crap out of me. So you can't be a voice without a voice. So please nominate your people. Shit, nominate yourself. I don't care. But you need to advocate for yourself, because this is a tough job and no one else is going to do it for you.
Preach.
Preach! So how are things in Bishop world?
Same shit, different day.
All right, that's boring. So I'm going to talk about I'm going to talk about Purple Tea really quick. Purple Tea does not sponsor the show, so don't go all on that. Yeah, you know, Purple Tea. Do you drink tea at all, or are you a coffee person?
I'm coffee, but I will drink tea.
What is your tea of choice?
It depends on how I'm feeling on the day. I don't really have a... Actually, I do really like the cold brew teas.
Oh.
Because you can just pop them in some ice cold water and have a sweet flavored drink.
Oh. Okay. That's different than what I'm thinking. I'm thinking hot. Did you know tea is the most consumed beverage in the world? Beveraged?
Well, sure, because over across the pond, they have time to have tea every day.
In a lot of different cities. Well, purple tea comes from the same tea plant as white, green, black, oolong. And it's just a little variation of it. So if you're interested in teas, if you like teas, try some purple tea. Go to Amazon. Put in discount code. I'm kidding. They don't sponsor this.
Is it actually purple?
Kind of. Like, when you brew it, it's more like of a black tea. It looks a little darker. But the when you see the tea leaves themselves, like when you're pouring it in, because it's loose leaf, it's a kind of a purple tint. Yeah, absolutely. It actually grows in Kenya now, but it was founded in India. I don't know how that works.
I mean, things move.
Things move.
Birds poop out seeds.
This is true. We fly from India to Africa all the time. Well, we have a fun show today. It's the Bishop and Ettinger experience. You're getting the two of us. And, you know, I've gotten feedback and we like feedback. So if you have feedback, please submit feedback. You can do that anywhere you listen to the show.
Preferably not of the kind of feedback, but actual words.
Well, some of the feedback I've gotten is people like just when it's us and not always really? Interviewing. Yeah, believe that.
Hey,
just you and me. Ooh, baby. Sorry. Tim, I'm singing to your wife. Yeah. Serenading. He doesn't care. He's like, whatever, bro.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, you're over in California, dude.
I am in California. Beautiful, sunny. It's nice here. It is. Yeah. Anyway, so our show today is going to focus on the National Animal Care and Control Officers Association, or is it just Association? National Animal
Association.
No matter what I do, the reputation will always be there. And I've created that and I accept it, right? I don't do it in a way of, like, there's no, I do it more so because I want to try to help and be a voice for us as a profession. What happens though is because I'm loud, I think I get labeled a certain way, right? Whether it's however people see me, that's fine. Some people, I may be polarizing and I'll own that. At the end of the day though, the fight is bigger than me and it's just trying to help get the word out there. And I'm going to talk freely in this episode, which may or may not make friends. People may say, Daniel's at it again. And they may not even listen. That's cool too. We don't need you to listen, but I'm going to say the things that I think here's where I'm at, Bishop. I'm going to say the things that I think other officers want to say. Precursor vent, was a post from a friend of the show who posted a NACA position statement. And it kind of was really random, so I was like, whoa, where did this come from?
Yeah, and I can't...
Shout out to Brad Adams. Brad Adams, good dude, man. Friend of the show, always welcome back on the show. By no means does my take on NACA reflect Brad Adams or anybody else's take. He did not ask me to say any of this. I just saw his post and I was like, what? So, and then Bishop, it was your idea to talk about it. So let's talk about it.
Yeah. The one thing I couldn't find was when the position was made.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not dated.
I saw that too.
So I'm not exactly sure what prompted it.
That's kind of what made me a little confused too. Was like, where is this coming from? But yeah, because I went back to their Facebook page and I didn't see, yep. Like, yeah.
Yeah, no, I had to go find it on Brad's post to be able to grab it.
Well, I'm on NACA's website, and that's nacanet.org. You can go and join and be a NACA member there if you'd like. It was posted on September 2nd of 2023.
Really? Okay.
Is it Unity
of
Animal?
But they didn't post it on their Facebook?
Unity of Animal Control and Sheltering, correct?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. It's on the NACANet, .org.
Right, but they didn't actually turn around and post it on Facebook themselves. Hey, you know what? We have friends that can get on and talk about this with us once we are done discussing it.
They may not want to come back on and discuss it. We'll see.
We'll see.
I'm starting shit this morning. Let's go.
You are. Good grief. All right. So I'm just going to go ahead and read it. And then I'm thinking there's a couple different bullet points, and I kind of like to take them step by step here and read them.
And I'm going to follow along just so I'm on the same page, if you will.
Okay. The National Animal Care and Control Association, NACA, supports the integration of animal control and sheltering services under unified leadership. The potential union of these essential functions represents an approach that will greatly benefit the animals and communities served. Animal control and sheltering share a common goal of ensuring the well-being and safety of animals, as well as fostering positive relationships with residents. Bringing these two vital services under the same leadership is an incredible opportunity to streamline processes, enhance coordination, and amplify the impact of all efforts. Here are a few reasons why NACA believes this integration is worth considering. First of all, efficiency. Consolidating leadership can lead to more efficient resource allocation, reduced duplication of efforts, and a smoother workflow between animal control and sheltering teams. Comprehensive care. Integrated leadership allows a seamless continuum of care for animals from their initial interaction with animal control to their eventual placement or return of their owner to their owners. Community engagement. With unified leadership, agencies and organizations can deliver a more consistent message to the community, promoting responsible pet ownership, animal welfare education, and adoption initiatives. Enhanced collaboration. Close collaboration between animal control officers and shelter staff facilities facilitates the sharing of expertise, knowledge, and the best practices. Effective advocacy. A unified approach can strengthen advocacy efforts to improve animal welfare policies and regulations, benefiting both animals and the community as a whole. NACA believes that by unifying animal sheltering and animal control under the same leadership agencies, agencies can foster a more comprehensive and impactful approach to animal welfare, achieve more positive outcomes, and make a lasting impact on the lives of animals and the people who care for them.
Okay.
And go.
Well, we were going to break down each one now. So yeah. Let's do that. Efficiency. Consolidating leadership can lead to more efficient resource allocation, reduced duplication of efforts, and a smoother workflow between animal control and shelter teams. Look, I want to preface this. I've been in this industry now going on 14 years. And every single position, whether it's been in a nonprofit, whether it's been in a municipal, whether it's been with law enforcement, I've always worked in a shelter. So I feel like I can speak to this from experience-based. Some of these work wonderful together, and I think some of them don't. And the aspect is, do we have the right leadership in place? So I feel like this can work and does, and I've seen it work in other agencies where you have the right leadership. So my point, I think, in all of this is making sure our city managers, whoever hires these people to be the directors, finds the right leadership, because otherwise you're going to have, you know, kind of the animal shelter side. And for a long time, even in our own shelter in Denver, it was separated. You had the Denver Animal Shelter, DAS, Denver Animal Shelter, and then you had animal protection officers. And even on our, like, on our, what are those things when you like come together and make
meetings?
Well, that too, but like it was like it's not a mission or a vision statement. It was more of like a value, something like that was in the hall. And you had both logos on there. And I'm like, but you want us to be unified, but you have the shelter and then you have the field services. We can't be unified if we're not one.
Sure.
And so my issue with that statement, though it can work, you have to have the right leadership. That's the key proponent there in order to get that workflow working well together.
Well, and my opinion, like I've been, my entire career is of the law enforcement shelter being separate. I work for law enforcement. And I think you can have this without having to be in the shelter. You can have this working relationship. I have a great relationship with our shelter, but I have worked damn hard to get it.
Yeah.
And so yeah. I mean, do we need to go through? I guess I feel,
yeah, we
after
should.
Reading that.
We need to go through. We should. So I think from the aspect, let's go back to efficiency. What does that look like? To me, I think I wish they broke it down more, because what does that look like to them, and why is this even neat? Like what sparked this?
Right? Sure.
So in my mind, I don't know where this came from, like if something sparked it or if they're just trying to get ahead of something. I have no idea. But with efficiency, I think it's great. Like we're working a large scale investigation where it's like, okay, cool. We have the resources from the shelter. We don't have to then duplicate efforts at that point, because then we can all work together as one team.
Mm-hmm. And all that, the big thing that comes out of that is having good communication. You can absolutely do that with your shelter and not work in their department if you have proper communication. I pick up an animal and I go, okay, you know, is this something? I have even taken animals that are like, I know our shelter has some medical abilities, and instead of taking it to the shelter and making them do a look over and then them deciding, no, we got to run it to the vet right away, I call up our shelter, I send them a picture, and I say, hey, do you have the ability to care for this, or do you want me to just take it to the vet clinic on your behalf? You know, it's that communication.
Communication, yeah.
So that's how that efficiency is helped there.
And that makes sense. I mean, I think...
Go ahead.
No, I think it's important that we have a great working relationship with our shelters. I'm not taking anything away from that. But if we're not A, finding the right leaders and making sure that our organization is thorough when it comes to that, then you're going to have that disconnect, right? Whether it's through trust or communication. And I think that's my biggest thing. And just understanding why this position statement was put out. It just like, okay, like unity of animal control and sheltering. When has that really been an issue?
Right.
Like, that's what I want to understand. Is it because, let me ask this question. I'm just going to ask you, is this because of grumblings about No Kill 2025 and how like it seems that animal control, they're the ones that don't really accept the no kill terminology and the no kill movement. So we as animal shelters have to bring them out. Is this where this is coming from? That's what I want to know.
I can tell you right now, at least speaking towards my shelter, they appreciate being a no kill shelter, but also recognize that they are going to absolutely do what they need to do for the betterment of the animal. And they don't typically even use the term no kill. I'm very proud of my shelter for that. So I don't want to group every shelter into that.
Yeah, but we know who, like, NACA's board right. has Best Friends employees on their board, right? I'm done with it. I'm done. I'm going in. So here's the deal. I do not want to put down any animal, period. Okay. Never want to do that. I am not here saying let's euthanize.
You're vegan.
We know that NACA has board members, elected board members that have ties to Best Friends in this no kill movement. So I just wonder, is it all connected in that aspect? And I don't think that what Best Friends is doing is wrong. It's just the terminology that they use is wrong. They know it's wrong. They took time to make signs to say, we know it's wrong. But if you're not with us, you're against us. And that's what I can't stand. Because I'm not necessarily against them as far as some of the philosophies that they have. I'm against their messaging. It's as simple as that. I'm against their messaging and I'm against some of their ideas where it comes to like not bringing animals in and causing issues in the community, which could be from higher bites that are happening, right? Dogs getting hit by cars more because we're telling people just to leave them alone, those type of things, right? And so in the aspects of where we're at in this idea of, oh, let's get animal control on board by putting out a position statement so that they're connected to sheltering. If that is the motive, then I'm upset about it. If there was something else or they're just doing it from the aspects of, hey, just so you know, we support this, then that's cool. But if they're doing it with an ulterior motive, I'm upset about it. Let's go into comprehensive care before I lose my shit.
Okay, so comprehensive care. Integrated leadership allows a seamless continuum of care for animals from their initial interaction with animal control to their eventual placement or return to their owners. You know, integrated leadership. I think it comes back to what you were saying about having the appropriate people in as the leaders, people that you can have somebody that understands the animal control, that understands the sheltering aspect of it, put them in both spots. Get them out on the field and then make them clean kennels.
So I heard.
So that they can see both sides.
Yeah, and I heard that recently a director did a ride along with an agency. I got peeps, yo. I got peeps in different area codes. That's a different song. But no, I heard that there was a newish director that was like kind of dissing the field, and then they came out in the field and then they were like, can I just go back to the office? This ain't my thing. And it's like, but how are you going to know if you don't know? You know what I mean? So
yeah,
it's all about leadership. And I think in this profession, we need to start really motivating people to, like, if I can help, and I know, I said it in the beginning of the show, I know I have a reputation, so you might not want to use me as a reference, but if I can help off the record to mentor anybody, if you want, like, there was just somebody that posted in one of the ACO groups on Facebook. And again, if you're not on those ACO groups, they're really great resources. So if you'd like to be added to them, they're private groups. You can message the show and we'll get you into those groups. Because it just offers really cool insight and some great feedback. But somebody in your state was thinking about doing a podcast. And so I was like, I jumped on there. I saw you that jumped on there. It's like, we'll help you. Shit, you could come on our podcast and promote your podcast because we want to support you. The more support that we can get for one another, the better we're going to be long term. And that's kind of my focus. And so I'm sure when we talk about like just growing and comprehensive care and like continuing the care for all this stuff, it all, like you said, Bishop, it comes back to the leadership and not having that disconnect where we had in my shelter years ago.
Yeah. Moving on to community engagement. With unified leadership, agencies and organizations can deliver a more consistent message to the community, promoting responsible pet ownership, animal welfare education, and adoption initiatives.
And that's that word again.
Leadership, leadership, leadership.
Is Beetlejuice going to show up?
Like, that's the third one here that has said leadership. And if you enhanced collaboration, what does collaboration mean?
Working together, unified.
Huh. Okay. Which would mean communication, right?
Yeah.
Effective advocacy. What does advocacy mean to you?
To me, it's what we do on the show. We advocate for all the animal control officers throughout the world.
Okay, but we do that through
communication. Damn.
Okay. Good setup. So good I see two common words in all of these statements: leadership and communication. Like, get your leaders to participate in all of the dirty work. Whether it be field work, whether it be sheltering work, get them in cleaning kennels, get them taking the stray dogs and dealing with, you know, Mary down the street who's, oh, don't kill my dog. You know, get them involved so that they can lead and they have, and make sure that they have decent communication skills so that we can work together. You don't have to be in the same building to make that happen. Correct. Like you said, people that are even in the same building can't even make that happen.
This is absolutely true. And as we blow, I want to blow through these because I have some more comments. Enhanced collaboration, close collaboration between animal control officers and shelter staff facilitates sharing of experience, expertise, knowledge, and best practices. Sure, it does. Absolutely. And that can happen. We do that now in my shelter. I think where I'm at is great. I'm super excited about the relationships that we have. And even the last shelter that I was at, I might have got a little too close. If you know, you know. However, whatever, I don't care. It's 2023. And that backfired, so it's fine. But I will say, in the aspects of like having that knowledge and expertise, you may have someone on your staff that is not an animal control officer, but like, say animal control goes out and impounds 30 chameleons, right? And that person at the shelter is a HERP. They know all that stuff, right? And so then they're able to help set up the appropriate shelter. We've had animals brought back to the shelter that animal control officers have set up in the past, and then the shelter staff was like, bro, what's going on here? Like, this is going to be really bad for them. So yeah. I think that's obviously an important one. And then effective advocacy, right? A unified approach can strengthen advocacy efforts for improved animal welfare policies and regulations, benefiting both animals and the community as a whole. In that aspect, I think that's really important, and that's something that we do. But I think you have to remember, like, the field services is the front line, and I think that we should talk to them too. And so if they're out there doing humane education programs, bring somebody from the shelter, right? Bring a animal care attendant or somebody that works up front, right? I think that's really important too.
Or if that's not possible, because let's be honest, everybody's short-staffed and maybe they can't do that, have documentation written up by the shelter that is shelter approved that says, okay, here's how we can help you. Please call our number, you know, whatever. So, but working with the shelter and getting them to create it so that it is, again, that collaboration, you're working together and using what they want you to tell everybody versus you making your own shit up.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then they close it out. NACA believes that by unifying animal shelter, NACA believes that by unifying an animal shelter and animal control under the same leadership, agencies can foster a more comprehensive an impactful approach to animal welfare, achieve more positive outcomes, and make a lasting impression on the lives of animals and the people who care for them. So that's cool, but like, what was the purpose?
Why?
Because we're already doing that for the most part.
Yeah. Why did this have to be put out there? That's my big thing. I want to know why. Is it the input of somebody else, or is there some other big shit going on that we're not aware of?
Well, I will say, we've had the executive director on the show before. I think Jerrica, I think that's your title, Jerrica, if mm-hmm. you're listening. Yeah. If you are listening and didn't turn it off yet, she and I will talk. I'm sure she and I will talk, and maybe we'll get her on the show to have that discussion. Again, I know specifically, and I had this conversation when I was in Nashville with one of the board members that is also an employee of Best Friends. Like, we don't need that. They Best Friends, y'all do your thing. I appreciate what you do. I would appreciate it much more if you change your verbiage and terminology. I really would. I'm tired of it, and it's not something that I'm shy about. That doesn't mean I don't like Best Friends. Like, it doesn't mean that I don't have a appreciation for some of the work that they do. I mean, they help a lot of programs. I would like to see them help programs in different ways. I would love to see all these big organizations come up with a scholarship fund and a scholarship program for veterinarians. I think that's missing. I think what else is missing is, lobbying for some money to come back into these communities that have these vet deserts and get either veterinarians some sort of, what's the word when you open something, like you get a gift, not a gift, but like they,
like a grant.
Well, yeah. Like, incentive, like giving veterinarians to open clinics in our underserved communities. Like, why aren't we doing that? And I know like, HSUS did a great job with the Pets for Life stuff, like being able to round up some money there. And so like more things like that need to happen, not good versus bad. And that's how it feels right now. When it comes to like animal control doesn't like Best Friends because Best Friends uses the word no kill and animal control is all dog catchers and they want to kill stuff. That's not true. I think here's the difference. I'll tell you this right now. The biggest difference is animal control is trained to make decisions based on facts. So when we start mixing emotions into what we do, animal control has a big problem with that. and using terminology like save them all and no kill targets what?
Everybody's emotions.
So at the end of the day, I think it's our job as we advocate for our profession to be vocal about it. I'm not going away on that. I really am not. And so, you know, I have the counter punch, if you will, or the jab, smart shelters. If you don't know about smart shelters, you can go to keepithumane.com/smart shelter. Or is it just smart? Let me look, because I don't even know. That's funny. whatever, but you can go. And the whole idea of smart is really just having a better way to respond to, are you guys a kill shelter? Right? It's just /smart. Yeah. I was smart about that and just made it forward. I made it easy. /smart, whatever.
Now, if only you could remember it.
We're all, yeah, true. We're also, shout out to Dr. G and the Animal Welfare Junction podcast. Dr. G's doing some great stuff. She's helping me kind of come up with some smart actions that we're putting together. There's a lot of people getting on board with that. So if you want different terminology that sounds good and is not really emotional based, it's more practical based, start using smart. Use that when people are asking you, are you guys a kill shelter? Are you going to kill it? Are you just going to take this 7-week old puppy and kill it?
Yeah, it makes me cringe. It really does.
It should make you cringe. I think it's important that we continue to advocate. I will say this, and that's one of the reasons that I started this idea of, you know, the podcast has been around now for what, going on 4 years, if not longer. Correct. I don't even know, because I don't remember stuff. But I saw, and speaking of NACA, I saw that they put out their awards and I was like, that's cool. But in order to vote or nominate, you have to be a member. I was like, okay, really? Do you have to? Like, you should just be an animal control officer or an agency to be able to partake. So I was like, why don't we do awards? Like, who, like, what separates us in that aspect, the animal control report, from having the ability to, I don't mind buying the trophy for somebody. Like, you deserve it. I'll say that. Let me say this with my chest. We are underappreciated in our profession, and we here at the Animal Control Report want to make sure that you get the recognition that you deserve. And so we're going to come out of our own pocket and we are going to buy you a trophy and some other things. And then we're going to invite you on the show to talk about the great work that you do. Like, this is why we're here, and you don't need a membership to do that. Just go to the website and sign somebody up, nominate somebody. But we can't sit here and be like, no one represents us, and then not do it. So please do it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, we have the listeners out there. Mm-hmm. Take your lunch break, guys. And while you're, you know, trying to cram that sandwich, you can go on your phone real quick and do it that way. It gives you a nice break. It gives you time to reflect on your day and your career. It doesn't have to take a long time to do it.
500 so words. That's not a lot. It's not a lot. No. And you can dictate that.
And if you know. I was going to say, you do it on your phone, you can totally do voice to text. Trust me, Dan's used to grammatical errors. And
oh, that's all I do. So let me nominate you real quick, just to show that. People how easy this is. So it would be like this. It'd be like, I would like to nominate Ashley Bishop for being an amazing humane officer in Wichita, Wisconsin. Nice. Ashley Bishop takes on all the hard calls. She stays late, works overtime, and once reunited a turtle with its lost rabbit. Like, something like that. That's all you need. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It doesn't need to be special just because we know they're special. But if there's links and stuff you want to add to it, dude, do it. So at the end of the day, we're here for you. We're here to also spread this word for people who may not listen, or no, that's not the right word, who may not understand what animal control is. That's also our goal, is to show them we're not the television show on Fox, or we're not the dog catcher in that new movie Strays, right? Like, we have a lot of value into our community, and it's important that you know that we're here to represent you.
I don't think I could have said it any better.
Aww. So, those of you who are coming to TACA, Texas Animal Care, Texas Animal. Ooh, see that care? Y'all threw me off there. Texas Animal Control. See, they do it right. Texas Animal Control Association will be in San Marcos, Texas, November 11th through 14th, or some of us will be there the 11th through 14th. So come say hi. We'll be doing some live recordings there, and we're here. We're here for you, and we want to continue that collaboration. I will say, can we end it on this? Where is my position statement on public safety? What the work is, or where is our position statement on clarifying that no kill terminology, right? Like, why aren't we putting position statements out on that to say, like, well, animal control does not want to euthanize and understands, the reality behind the need for euthanasia, though, we're in support of our animal control officers. Like, why are we silent on that topic?
Where's the position statement saying that we are law enforcement and that, we should be getting the protective equipment that we need?
I do want to say, I don't want to bash on NACA the whole 60 minutes. I mean, a couple minutes, I'll say nice things. I want to say during COVID, they did come out with a position statement about first responders. So I do appreciate that. But seriously, NACA, where's your position statement on animal control and how this no-kill movement affects us? So for those that are listening, for those that still support the show and will still support the show after an episode like this, I just want to appreciate you and take the time out to say, I'm one of you, and I'll always be one of you, even if this show is my last episode of the Animal Control Report, which it's not. But if it was, I still have your back no matter what. I really love this profession. I love the hard work that you do. And I know, as much as many of you know, how difficult this job is and can be. The long hours, right? Seeing some of the horrific things that we see, dealing with people and their poor excuses of how they treat animals. So I'm there. I've been there with you, and I've been there through the rough times, and want you to know that I want to see us in the positive times. What else we got?
Well, and if anybody wants to come and talk to us about their, maybe they have a reason why they're like, yeah, no, I needed to actually hear this. I needed this in my shelter.
Ooh, that's a good point. Talk about it.
So reach out to us. Let us know. Let us know why you were like, man, yeah. Because I did see a couple of comments of people that were like, oh, great. Finally, this is out there.
Yeah. So maybe there's some stuff happening behind the scenes we don't know about.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I'm always willing to admit that. Like, I don't know everything.
Either do I. And no, people think I.
What? No.
People think I have this. Everything. No, for real. People think I have this, like, know-it-all ego. And that's fine. Like, I think I'm confident in what I do, and that confidence and arrogance, there's a fine line. And so I apologize at times if I come across as arrogant. My impact is different than the intent. And so my intent, and I can't say it enough, is to really be here to support our profession, our people. And, I'll die on the sword for that one. Like, this is something that I love to do, and I appreciate everybody that does this hard work. So At the end of the day, if any of the listeners want to make a comment, you can make an anonymous comment. We can read it on the show. You can come on the show. We can talk about it. We can have a discussion. I'm happy to open those chains of conversation. So however y'all want to do it. I do think, though, honestly, I think we're going to get a lot of support from this episode. I really do.
I hope so. Yeah. I hope so. And we know people in NACA, like you said, Jerrica, I'd love to get her on, get her opinion. We're always open to that too. So
yeah, definitely. Okay, cool. Well, so again, check out the website, keepithumane.com. Don't forget to like, share, rate this podcast. Also, don't forget to check out Animal Control Report on YouTube. Check out the Animal Control Report anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Also, check out the Keep It Humane Podcast Network, so you're not missing some of those awesome television shows, podcast shows, and whatever, it's fine. And just, you know, support it. Support, like, share. Shit, if you want to leave a comment that says that I was an asshole on this episode, leave it. I don't care. Right? A comment is a comment.
We'll read it.
We'll read it. We appreciate it. And, you know, it helps us be better. This has been bottled up for a long time, and I'm glad we had the opportunity to talk about it. So thank you, Bishop, for bringing up this idea for this show. Thank you for being the, I would say, the understanding voice and allowing me to vent as much as I did. And thank you, Cap Cut, for allowing me to edit out the part that can't be aired.
However, if anybody wants to know that information, send us a message.
And on that note, thanks for listening and keep it humane.
Humane.
Maine.